Hi, are you a gifted or twice exceptional adult who feels a bit stuck in your journey? Do you have goals and dreams which you would love to achieve, but you don't know where to start or feel a little bit overwhelmed? Or maybe you have 1,000 ideas, 500 projects, and get distracted by your own thoughts and would love some support on focus and accountability? Whatever gets you stuck, I wholeheartedly believe that gifted and twice exceptional specific coaching will help you unleash your power so that you can be your most authentic gifted self. I recently embarked on my journey on becoming a gifted and twice exceptional coach. So if you are interested in working with me one-on-one, please reach out via email at hello@giftedunleashed.com, or you can find more information about my coaching offers on the website giftedunleashed.com/coaching. I would love working with you, and I would love to get you unstuck. So please reach out and let's get started. Hello, and welcome to Gifted Unleashed, where we talk about the gifted and twice exceptional brain and how it affects our thinking and experience of the world differently. There are a lot of stereotypes and stigma around the term giftedness, and I'm here to challenge those. I'm here to raise awareness and to have a conversation around the topic of what it means to be a gifted and two-year adult. Common experience among gifted folks is that they feel out of place. They don't quite fit in. They're too sensitive, too intense, too emotional, too overexcitable, and too deep thinkers about the world and about themselves. So if you have been called too much of about anything, then this show is for you. My name is Nadia. I'm too loud, too colorful, too bubbly, too bossy, and I love to talk too much. So welcome to my world, and I'm so happy you're here. Welcome to another episode of Gifted Unleashed, the podcast for gifted and twice exceptional adults. Today we have Caitlin Smith on the podcast, and Caitlin and I, we met during a course of Intergifted offered by Jennifer Harvey Salin. And, you know, if you've listened to the podcast in the past, I'm a huge fan of Jen, and Jen is a big part why this podcast is off the ground. So Jen offered a course, and Caitlin and I were part of the course and stayed in contact and even met at Seng in the summer. And this podcast episode has been long in the making. And I'm so pleased that Caitlin and I finally got a chance to sit together virtually and have a conversation, what she does in the gifted space and what she offers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Caitlin. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
I'm excited to be here.
And it has been such a long time in the making. We've been talking in the background. Yes. I think we've met over a year ago, probably. And we've met in the summer, but we didn't really have time to speak in depth. So actually, I'm excited for you to be on this show today so we can talk a little bit more together in private and for the public and get to know each other. And I'm really excited to hear more about you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm so excited to be here and chat more with you.
I just want to start by listening to your gifted story. I feel like every gifted person has a gifted story. How did they uncover this topic? And how did they learn about this? Why it's important in their life? And I think especially people working in this space, you know, that usually gives them their why. And I think that's very interesting to hear. Would you like to share?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the question. Well, I guess I should begin when I was in elementary school. I was fortunate in a lot of ways in that I was identified as gifted when I was very young. I had the opportunity to begin Montessori school when I was very young, a little bit younger than I think is typical in the States, in the United States where I live. I was 2 years old when I started and just about to turn three. And there were some changes that happened in my family around where we were going to live. We were planning to move to one community and then needed to sort of switch gears last minute. And as a result, the school that I was going to go to, another Montessori school, ended up not being the school that I could continue at indefinitely. And so I suddenly needed to kind of switch gears into attending a conventional school. And that led to some challenges because I, prior to that, been learning in a mixed age environment in a Montessori school where there was a lot of latitude and room for me to pursue more challenging work or in certain areas. And to make a long story short, I ended up being advanced a year. And I guess in the course of that process, in the more conventional school, public school, and in the course of that process, I ended up being tested for the Talented and Gifted program that was offered in my school district, and then ended up participating in that programming. So I think that may have been the first time that I explicitly received the gifted label in my educational journey. But strangely, I think that I largely forgot about it in a way, or I forgot about that label. And I think that in general, when I was told that I'm gifted, or that this framework or this label might relate to me in my life in some way, I think it was really framed as something that was solely about my academic performance, mm-hmm. and that it didn't necessarily have anything to do with other dimensions of me that would sort of endure into my adult life. And I think that after having some of those early experiences, it wasn't until many years later that I found myself returning to these themes. I would say that a major watershed moment for me came when I was training as a psychotherapist about 10 years ago now. And I, in short, received some critical feedback from some of the people I was working with and training with. And I can maybe elaborate more on this later in our conversation. But I had some really challenging experiences during that time, in which some of these individuals, one in particular, told me that I was way too intellectual to be a therapist, first of all, which I think is disconcerting on a number of levels. I think there's a lot to unpack there. But in addition, there was also this notion that I was also somehow too intellectual to be an emotionally healthy and authentic Black woman. Mm. And there's a lot to unpack there as well. And anyway, that was absolutely a watershed moment for me that got me thinking more about what's going on here. And I would say that in the years that followed those experiences, I had other experiences that again prompted me to think about this concept of giftedness, and that included some personal relationships that I had, like a particular romantic relationship, and some of the dynamics that developed between me and that person led me to think more deeply about what is it about the way that I operate and the way that my mind works that feels like a departure from the ways that a lot of other people around me operate. So those experiences were among the experiences that got me thinking more deeply about adult giftedness, and that it's not merely an academic label. There's a lot more that I could say about this, but I want to pause and have a conversation.
Yeah, there's so much, right? We have so much to share. But I want to ask you right here, like, where did you make this connection between this giftedness? And I guess first it was about the intellectual, and then you realized there's more to it than the intellectual. Is that where this whole process went? Or did they train you on giftedness in the program?
No, definitely not. I think it would be wonderful if this knowledge was shared more in the course of training. I should also note that the mental health field in which I trained was clinical social work. Mm-hmm. So in my experience, and perhaps this is changing and I just haven't caught wind of it, but my sense is that discussion around intelligence has not necessarily been foregrounded in that area of the mental health field. I do know that for some people who train as psychologists, they may learn more about intelligence testing and different forms of intelligence. But so I'll kind of leave it to people who have trained as psychologists to speak to that. But in the clinical social work field, it was definitely not something that we were talking about at all. And for me, it was just striking that amongst the people I was interfacing with in the course of my training process, there didn't seem to be a ton of curiosity around the different ways in which people may move through the world where I guess their mental proclivities are concerned, and not just around their traumas and their, I don't know, their personalities, but also where people's intensity complexity and drive may be concentrated, and how those things manifest differently in different individuals. Mm-hmm. I feel that there was not perhaps enough conversation around those topics at that time. So that felt like a missing piece for me. And I ended up going on a journey to learn more about it.
I love how you call it a journey. I call it a rabbit hole. But yes. Oh, amazing. And so basically you started this journey for yourself and probably realized, you know, you're not the only one, and there's something that you need to bring into the world. And so do you want to share a little bit more about this journey and speak more about, you know, these key interactions that you had and what shed light onto that?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. I think that particular watershed moment that I identified earlier that I experienced during my psychotherapeutic training was a big one for me. There's so much to unpack related to that experience, but I think that for me, one of the things that was most striking was just this basic notion that somehow I, from the vantage point of this particular individual, who was a white woman who I don't actually believe that she was a therapist, but she had produced doctoral level research on psychology and was teaching and mentoring people in the context of my master's level training program. And just the sheer notion that my intellectualism had to be pathological, because in her estimation or in her imagination, when a Black woman is being truly herself, she doesn't show up that way. And therefore, there must be some sort of underlying deception at the heart of my way of being. That was just incredibly difficult to, not just to hear, like it was very traumatizing and difficult, but it was also, it was so challenging to respond to, because this person truly believed that she was just right. She was just so right about this, and that her opinion couldn't be challenged. And she was also in a position in this institution, like tenured, and just had a level of seniority that made the situation really intimidating for me. One part of the story that I haven't shared yet is that this person also then went so far as to tell me that if I couldn't align my way of being with a more authentic personality or like way of responding to the world, i.e. being more angry from her perspective, she felt that I wasn't being angry enough and wasn't being loud enough and wasn't just showing up in ways that she thought I ought to be based on a stereotypical understanding of what a Black woman does. This person literally told me that she wouldn't feel comfortable allowing me to graduate with a master's degree that I was working toward at that time if I couldn't adopt this correct persona in her imagination. And yeah, because I guess from her perspective, when you're becoming a therapist, you're the instrument and you need to be finely tuned in order to attune to your patients and show up appropriately. And I think on some sort of basic level, I think that makes sense. I think that at least embarking upon a journey where you learn to observe your own reactions and assumptions is really, really important. And I think that's true of coaches as well, even people who aren't therapists. But this was a situation in which I think it was really clear that her basic assumptions about the world and who Black people and Black women in particular are in that world and must be in that world, and by extension, me, couldn't really be disentangled from that training process and her responsibility as the person training me. And as an experience, it just brought into focus so many questions, some of them personal, but also just other questions about what are the ways in which these dynamics are playing out across our society and world? And what are the ways in which people are being manipulated and gaslit? I don't know. What are the ways in which people are being urged in one manner or another to abandon themselves and bullied out of knowing what they know about their lives? Anyway, I, after having these experiences and others, I embarked upon a journey to think more deeply about the role that giftedness has continued to have in my adult life and the places where it's intersected with other dimensions of my social identity. So as a Black person and as a woman in particular. And that eventually led to me starting a business called Our Wild Minds, which maybe we'll chat a bit about more later. But through this business, I am focused on supporting BIPOC adults, so that's a Black, Indigenous, and people of color, in befriending and operationalizing their natural gifts, which is absolutely something that I'm still continuing to do and learn about. So I'm not positioning myself as some sort of supreme authority or something ridiculous like that. But I think that that really challenging and awful experience that I had really initiated me into this path of learning and development. And I've been really excited to invite other people into that so we can learn from one another and help one another achieve our goals in the world on our own terms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and congratulations on your business. And I love, love, love the name, Our Wild
Thank
Minds.
You.
It's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So much goes through my head right now, you know, like people. I think maybe this person even thought she had your best interest at heart, wanted even to help you or something. I don't know. And so offensive.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Just forcing you to mask, pretend to be somebody you're not, and just living up to prejudice and stereotypes.
Yeah. Oh. If I may, something I'd love to just quickly say to riff on what you just said about this person potentially having positive intent as she was offering these unsolicited perspectives to me. And this prompts me to think about the framework of cultural competency. Mm. That's a framework that you've encountered very much in your corner of the world.
No, please share more.
Here in the States, there's a lot of conversation about the concept of cultural competency, which is a framework that is often used in the mental health field and in other fields as well, I think in the education field too. But it's a framework that's often used when professionals are being trained in a particular field or modality. And it's all about sort of helping people cultivate the capacity to engage across difference and engage with people whose identities might, their social identities might diverge from their own. So that can be around race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, religion, all class, all kinds of areas. And in the mental health field, when I was training as a psychotherapist anyway, there was definitely an emphasis on cultivating cultural competency. And at the same time, there was also a lot of criticism from people who were suggesting, what does it mean that we're encouraging people to believe that you can somehow just master what it means to engage with people from a particular group as though people don't have interiority. And also as though there are certain traits that you ought to be looking for in your dealings with people who hail from a particular group. So I think there's a lot of complexity there and a lot to unpack. And yeah, but I think that with this particular individual I was describing earlier who was training me, I think that, yeah, one way to conceptualize what may have been going on there was that she had really clung on to this really narrow understanding of what a Black person is. Mm. And instead of really making herself open to or opening up to what I was telling her about my experience and my priorities and my values, she insisted upon this narrow understanding in which she kind of preserved herself as the expert and wasn't open to having her worldview challenged or upended by her experience with me, that relationship. So, yeah, I think that's there's an opportunity there for people who may be thinking or listening, how do I not fall into these traps? I think maybe one tool or one takeaway is to be open to what you learn in the moment in your dealings with people who are maybe hailing from a different background, instead of clinging to some sort of ideology or like static conception of what women are like or what people of a particular group are like.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for sharing and also, yeah, educating me. What I encountered or what I saw coming into this gifted space is, or what I didn't see, is a lot of Black women. And I wonder why that is. And I have my own theories, but I don't know if that's something you have also thought about, or is that something that I observed correctly?
Yeah, let's see. I have a bunch of thoughts going through my head right now. I apologize. I think that when I first kind of re-entered the world of gifted people who are connected around the world, and especially people who support gifted adults, I had a very similar reaction. I thought, oh, I'm not encountering other Black people in this space who are kind of leading and supporting others or creating containers for others. So that struck me as a missed opportunity that I've been inspired to, you know, respond to through my business. But as I've delved deeper, I've been really excited by the incredible work that various Black women leaders in the field of gifted education have done, and the kind of foundational, incredibly important work that they've laid. Dr. Joy Lawson Davis is one of those people. She's here in the States. She's written a number of books and is just such an inspiring and lovely person. And then there's also Dr. Donna Ford, who has also been a pathbreaking voice in the field of gifted education. And both of them have really illuminated so many issues related to gifted education for youth of color. I feel like I've gained so much from engaging with their work that I've been able to think with as I explore ways in which we can create more networks of support for gifted adults who are part of communities of color. Yeah. So the way I'm thinking about it right now is that there are a lot of opportunities to port some of those insights from the gifted education world over into adult life. And my sense is that there's also a lot of room to just continue building upon work that's already been done and create new resources too. So it's exciting to be part of this. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to plug in who are interested in these conversations.
Oh, thank you for sharing also your resources and for being that person, you know, to trailblaze and create this community for Black women and people of color. So
thank you. And I feel so grateful as well, because it's quite clear to me that I'm standing on the shoulders of so many people, definitely the two women I just mentioned, and a number of other people too. This is just one specific example, but I'm currently a PhD student at Harvard, and when I first started, I was searching the campus high and low for some sort of bust or statue dedicated to W.E.B. Du Bois, who was the first Black graduate. I was so excited to finally locate a bust of him in the Department of African and African American Studies, and he was someone who many, many, many years ago was talking about these issues. He wasn't necessarily talking about it through the prism of giftedness per se, but he was posing these fundamental questions about how the intelligence of Black people was being imagined. And he was in a position where a lot of people wouldn't listen to what he had to say, but he nevertheless kind of made himself into an example and has just left a lot of opportunities in his wake that didn't exist before. So all of that to say that I'm grateful to be able to stand on the shoulders of so many giants and figure out how I can contribute.
Thank you so much, Caitlin, for sharing all of your insights. And let's just talk a little bit more about what you offer for the gifted women in this space. Like, why reach out to you if you're a gifted and Black person and join your program?
Yeah, thank you. Let's see. Well, right now I have two offerings. Hopefully that pool will expand in the future. But I have an online community that I've started called Our Wild Minds Community. And in the future, I hope that we'll be able to kind of carve out space for additional communities of color. But we're starting just with Black gifted adults. And this is a space that people can come to meet new friends, new contacts, professional contacts, and just sort of get support in various areas of their life, ranging from personal to professional. So this is a great way for people to sort of get to know me and the kind of work that I do. And we offer twice weekly community calls at this point, which is just an opportunity for people to be in conversation around a central theme. And the themes vary by month over the course of the year, but it's an opportunity for people to forge new connections each time. And there's also a robust online community where people can meet people both across the world and close to them. And there's also an area where people can kind of explore different ways that giftedness has been understood as a concept, because I know that people often come into this gifted adult world or industry feeling kind of like, what is all of this? Some of this resonates with me and some of it really doesn't resonate with me. So I wanted to create kind of like a journey that people can follow as they enter the community that can help them think through what giftedness means to them and also what their goals are in the context of the community. Something else I should mention about the community is that there are kind of five components to the journey through the community that I'm offering. The first is focused on introspection. So that involves moving through the foundation's workbook that I was just sort of describing, which is all about exploring one's relationship to giftedness and kind of taking an inventory of one's strengths and also areas in which one may find vulnerabilities and may want to grow, and sort of using that as a template to navigate the community, because there are so many different areas to plug in and explore. The second component of the community is focused on connection. So I mentioned the community calls, which are currently happening twice monthly. We also are going to have some affinity groups forming, so opportunities for people to connect with people who have other identities that are similar to theirs, such as LGBTQ people and people who live in particular regions of the world, though I'm hopeful that that will expand more over time. And then there are opportunities for asynchronous communication via the online forum. And then the third area of the community is focused on learning. So there's a resource library where people can tap into various books and other media that other members have elevated as useful to them. And there's also an area where people can find study buddies. So maybe people are really passionate about a particular topic, or they're enthusiastic about exploring a particular thing, even entirely independently, and there's room for people to identify what they're exploring and connect with others who may want to check in with them about those topics or engage in some sort of learning journey together. And then there's also an opportunity for all of the community members to gain priority access to any online courses that are offered within our Wild Minds, and I'll circle back to that point in just a moment. The fourth area of the community that people can choose to engage with is focused on manifestation. So kind of bringing one's visions into the world. So there's an area where people can articulate their goals and find accountability buddies. I hope that in the future, we can carve out greater structure for people to gather and kind of hold one another accountable. But to start, we're just going to have accountability buddies, and I'm excited to see where we can go with that. There are also areas where people can network with other people in their particular industries. So yeah, people can make new connections, and there are also opportunities for people who are career changers and want to explore a particular arena to, you know, connect with someone who has more experience and maybe set up an informational interview. And related to that, there's also a mentor matching area where people can indicate that they're seeking a mentor in a particular arena, or that they are seeking a mentee in a particular arena, and people are invited to express that they're seeking both at the same time. Maybe they would love to find someone who can help them find their way in this one arena, but they would also love the support of someone in another, and they can do those things simultaneously. And this notion of seeking a mentee or someone to sort of support, maybe coming up behind you or alongside you, is connected to the fifth and final component of this community journey, which is focused on giving back. So that includes connecting with people, supporting people as a mentor in some regard. And then there's also an opportunity to get involved with social impact projects. And one of the ways that I'm really excited to explore this in the context of the community is by having hackathons where we sort of carve out a weekend. I don't know just yet what the regularity of these events will be. I'm kind of waiting to see how people feel about it and what the feedback is. But I'm really excited to have kind of like a hackathon weekend where people get together on Zoom from all over the world and split up into teams and have a central challenge or question that faces our community or people like us around the world, or some other social question or social issue that is important to people that people have maybe voted on. And then the teams kind of devise some sort of creative response to whatever the issue is and creates something, whether it's a prototype for an app or a piece of artwork or an idea for a program and how they would implement it. And then we come together and share our learnings, share our findings. And I'm envisioning this as a meaningful way for people to forge new relationships, friendships, and professional relationships, and also generate actionable ideas that we can then potentially decide to act upon as a community. So those are the initial offerings that are planned for the community, but I'm excited to see what I learn and what people are most excited about as we iterate on the platform.
This sounds amazing. And I have already a few people I'm going to send your way. And I hope they bite. And I hope, because I feel like these women are exactly the type of women that could use and offer support and like be exactly, you know, engaging in this community.
That's wonderful. Yes? Can I would just love to clarify something. This community is actually for people of all genders, mm-hmm. just to be clear. So I'm starting with people, adults who identify as Black and gifted. And it may be that in the future, there could be other areas of this community that serve other communities of color. That's something that I would love to offer in the future, but I'm not there yet. So this is what I'm offering right now.
So many thoughts. And I think I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you. If I tell, you know, my friend who fits your profile for your community to go and join, but she doesn't have an official gifted diagnosis, never been to gifted school, I believe she might be the perfect candidate. Does she need to prove she's gifted, or how can she enter?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that question. That's such an important question. No. How should I respond to this succinctly? There's so much to say on this topic. But in a nutshell, no. I want to welcome in anyone who resonates with this concept and sees themselves in it. And I think that if someone joins and they begin connecting with people and with the resources that are there and feels like, oh, maybe this isn't the right fit, or maybe this would be the right fit if this other dimension was included, I would love to receive that feedback and, you know, have a conversation about it and see what kind of support they're looking for, or what kind of support they need. And if someone decides, oh, this isn't for me, then that's fine. But I'm not remotely interested in attempting to tell other people who is gifted and who's not. I've been in spaces before in which I witnessed that dynamic and it really rubs me the wrong way. I think that intelligence is a mysterious and multidimensional and expansive thing. And I don't think anyone should have the last word on it. So I'm not on board with people who operate in those ways. So yeah, I think that anyone who reads my writing or, you know, has engaged with other materials related to adult giftedness and they resonate with it, they should feel welcome to participate. Yeah. I'm also realizing, Nadia, that I didn't talk about the online course that I created, which I think you asked me about, but I didn't mention it.
Please tell us more about your course.
Okay. Yeah, so I created an online course called Black Brilliance Circle, and it is a 6-month journey through kind of what it is to be a gifted Black adult that engages mind, body, and heart, or that's how I've envisioned it. And I just recently wrapped up the initial run of the course and had a great time and learned so much from my participants, and I can't wait to offer it again in fall of 2024. So I'll be circulating more information about that as that date approaches. But in short, that course offered participants an opportunity to engage with a group of peers from all over the world. Half were from the United States and the other half were from other parts of the world. And we met twice monthly for 6 months and were able to go really deep into a lot of material. And one of the key themes that we explored among many is the intersection of racial trauma and gifted trauma. And I can say that if you'd like to hear more, and I want to be cognizant of your time, but
please go. I really want to hear more. And I think it's very important to talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I know that there's some people in the gifted field who talk about the issue of gifted trauma, like Jennifer Harvey Salen, for example, who we both know. And one of the elements that I've wanted to contribute to the conversation in the gifted field that serves gifted adults is the contribution of racial trauma and racism to the experiences of members of minoritized populations, like racial minorities. And I know that the story that I shared earlier about being framed as too intellectual to be an authentic Black woman is one example that I think kind of brings this idea to life, where there's the gifted element where the person is encountering something that seems alien and other to them in the manner that I communicate and think and what have you. But then there's also this element of, you know, you're Black and therefore all Black people supposedly are a certain way, or to see a Black person who's at once highly intellectual and Black, there's just something that seems contradictory about that in a lot of people's imaginations. And I think that dynamic, it can be immensely traumatizing for a lot of people. So the story that I shared was just one example of that. But I think another specific issue that came up in conversation in the context of the Black Brilliance Circle course was just all of the violence against Black people around the world and the pervasiveness of anti-Blackness in general, and just how challenging it is to live in the midst of those dynamics, and also be someone who feels very deeply and, you know, processes your experiences in the world deeply. And I think depending on someone's unique constellation of intelligences, their emotional reactions may be particularly strong. And some people exhibit quite a lot of intensity in the area of existential intelligence. And that combination of forces can lead some people in directions that are just really hard to get out of, and that just sort of endure, because it's not enough to just imagine that, well, you know, we're just going to think happy thoughts and everything will be better, because we don't live in that world, unfortunately. So this course offered a space in which we had an opportunity to discuss some of those tensions and realities, while also exploring and envisioning, you know, the kinds of people we can become in the world we have and the ways in which we can contribute to reshaping the world within our own spheres of influence, such that more Black brilliance can flourish in authentic ways. So in many ways, it was a course that offered more of an invitation to ongoing learning and development for all of the participants. But I had a great time, and I'm looking forward to welcoming the next group of people.
Wow. Thank you for sharing. And I think, yeah, a space highly needed, especially in the current times that we're living in. And I know the political space also in the US currently. Thank you. I can just say thank you for what you're doing. And I hope my podcast gets out to the people who need to hear this and who need your Gifted Brilliance Circle and join and your community. It sounds amazing and like a wonderful safe space.
Thank you so much.
So if somebody wants to join, where can they find you?
Yeah, the best place to go is my website, which is ourwildminds.com. And that first word is our, like O-U-R.
And I will put all the links in the show notes, also your social media, so people can follow and just click and see what you're doing. Oh,
wonderful.
A few last words. Is there anything you would like to share or anything that you wish you knew earlier, something you just want people to know?
Oh man, I love that question. So many thoughts are running through my head. I'm trying to avoid offering an answer that feels cliche, but what's honestly coming to mind is just about the importance of being yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very cliche, but I think what my experience has shown me is that the more that I have sort of embraced my natural proclivities and allowed them to kind of shine forth or allowed myself to lean into them in a way that's visible to others, the more satisfied I felt. And I feel like my life has made a lot more sense as I've simply embraced my natural proclivities more instead of trying to tamp them down and fit them into other people's, I don't know, expectations and structures. Yeah, I'm thinking of whether there's anything else I would want to say too.
I think that's brilliant because, you know, the square peg in the round hole, right? And especially, even though you say, you know, you were identified gifted early on, but it's about academic achievement. It's not so much about how we perceive the world differently. And only this connection we usually make much later in life, if we make it. And if, you know, like me, I've never been identified in school as gifted. We don't really have this concept here. So even like stumbling across this information was highly by chance. And so I was like, why has nobody told me this? Like, now I know why, you know, I've gotten all this feedback, you know, 40 years of my life. You're too intense. You're too loud. Can't you not just be normal? People also had expectation of, you know, how I should behave as a woman or, you know, as a young person or indifferent. Sometimes you're too young, too old. Yeah. And I think, as you said, once you start understanding that what we're doing, what I thought what I was doing fitting into the societal norms was adulting. I was like, this sucks. I don't want to be an adult if that's what it takes. But I realized like for other adults, it's not as hard to fit in or it comes more naturally. And as you said, once you start being yourself, it's freeing, it's liberating. And it's like, yeah. And once you do that, that's the first step. But then connecting with others that are like-minded, like, you know, when we met in the summer, it's like instant. I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's like you go into a room and you don't have to explain yourself. And you can just be yourself and you get mirrored back. And nobody told me I was too intense. Maybe they didn't say it to my face, but like, I just felt there was something in the air. I can really not describe it. It was just a special moment walking into this room surrounded by like-minded people. And I feel like if you are on top, you know, a Black person, going into a space that you're off at this intersection of being gifted and Black, that might be very, very healing and empowering. And so, yeah, I'm cheering you on. And
oh, thank you so much.
I'm sending all my listeners who resonate with your message towards you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And I hope I see you maybe soon again. And we wrap up now, but maybe you come back later and share a little bit along the way of your journey in a future episode.
I would love that so much. That would be wonderful.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I want to say thank you for your time, for listening. And if you want to be in the loop of what's coming next and when the next episodes are coming out, then first of all, subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to. And second, you can go to the website, giftedunleashed.com, and subscribe to the newsletter. I will let you know when the next episode is dropping or if I have other news for you, so you will stay in the loop. So with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful rest of the week, and I'll see you next time. Bye.